Inside Chicago government.
Any use of power disturbs it.
ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben writes on cover.
Sorry.
Usually it's serious when he writes, but he writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's obviously here with me today. Good day.
Good day, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on September 25th, 2014, titled, Can Rahm Clean Up the Mess He's Made with School Janitors?
Ah.
The answer might be no.
What a great, great column, if I must say so myself.
In this great column, you write about the janitors that work for Chicago Public Schools, or CPS, and how in the 90s, a portion of the CPS janitor jobs were converted to contracting.
That is correct.
So today, they're divided into a CPS employee workforce and a contractor workforce, both unionized.
Yes, sir.
You also write about the employees belonging to the Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, Local 73, while the contractors belong to SEIU Local 1.
Oh, that's so complicated.
Further, Local 73, the employees local, recently donated $25,000 to Mayor Emanuel's reelection campaign.
Because he desperately needs it.
And in the midst of all this, school staff have reported their schools are dirtier.
Filthier.
Filthier?
Mm-hmm.
Is filthier dirtier than dirty?
Yes.
All right.
And dirty is just dirt. Filth is filth.
First off, let's get into the weeds here. Which janitor jobs got converted to contracting? Was it a particular set of functions or locations or what?
You're talking about in the 90s?
Yeah.
They didn't do it geographically. People got to keep their jobs based on seniority or probably clout. I'm sure there was some of that. I mean, we're talking about something that happened how many years ago? It's almost 20 years ago, 17 years
ago. So there was no like, all right, we're going to take all the janitors that work on boilers or in the boiler room.
You're looking for a logic to it or
I just
geographical.
Want to know
how they justified it.
How they decided.
My understanding is it was based on seniority. In other words, the people who got let go were the people who were the most recently hired. My guess is we're talking about something that happened 20 years ago. A little bit of clout played into it.
So then what you ended up with, I'm guessing, is you ended up with janitors who worked side by side, and some were employees and some were contractors.
We have that right now.
Okay.
We have a two-tier system of janitors in Chicago. You're absolutely correct. It happened in the 90s. And as they slowly allow the board-employed janitors to phase out through attrition, retirement, etc., there's still a period where you have board employees who get more money and pension rights working side by side with janitors from private contractors, and those janitors, of course, get less money. They don't get pension rights. In this current round of layoffs, where there's 400-something, close to 500 janitors being laid off, all of those laid-off janitors work for private companies. So the board employees, for the moment, have been protected. The cynic would say,
there are none at this table.
None at this table. The Mayor Rahm was taking care of his friends in Local 73. That's the union that represents the board employees, the board janitors, in exchange for the $25,000.
Do you know anything about the machinations inside that decision? In other words, did the vendor decide that they needed to cut their cost, or did CPS revise the contract so we're getting paid less?
Excellent question. Again, just so our listeners know, I'll say as I always do, I'm not privy to the inside conversations that take place at Mayor Rahm's school board or between Mayor Rahm.
That bug stopped working?
The bug broke.
Picture of Hitler,
it
right?
Broke. So it's pretty obvious to me that here's what happened. The mayor's looking to cut salaries wherever he can, as opposed to raising new revenues through the legalization of marijuana, just an example of something we might do as an alternative.
Oh, that pipe went out.
Yeah. He was sold on a proposal by Aramark, which is this private contractor, a huge conglomerate in the service industry, which they claimed that they had, through technological innovations and workforce genius, figured out a way to get fewer people to do more work, which is always trouble, as I mentioned. So as a result, thanks to their brilliance and their innovations, they could successfully cut the workforce by roughly 500 janitors and still have the schools clean. I quote a couple times, not just in this article, but in another post, the promises that the board made in February at a hearing on this contract, where they talked about less work for principals, cleaner hallways, less money spent. I think they claimed they were going to save $40 million, which I really doubt.
These cuts happening at the start of a contract or in the middle of a contract?
No, it's the start of the contract. The contract was approved in, I believe, March. The public hearing was in February, and the contract was approved in March or April, one or the other. It was approved at the start of this calendar year, 2014, and the cuts are just coming down now. So it was about last week from when we're having this interview, somewhere mid-September, that announcements went to individual janitors telling them that they were going to be laid off. But before those cuts occurred, there was the phase one, if you will, of the great innovation by the new contractor, in which janitors were pulled from their schools and sent to other schools, sort of a trial run, I suppose. I have no idea what they were up to. And that is what led to sort of the breakdown in services over the summer.
Mouse droppings.
Yes, where the schools weren't cleaned as thoroughly as they're generally cleaned. I guess I'm old school, no pun intended, but the old system where a principal could hire his or her work crew, I thought was an effective way to do it. And it is ironic that the mayor, who claims that everything is about empowering principals, would take this very important responsibility away from principals, which is hiring your janitorial work crew. I think it worked much better to have a permanent crew on site at a school working with the janitor, working with the individual teachers, knowing the children year to year, as opposed to this new method where they're just going to be rotating janitors throughout the city.
I remember in grade school, we all had a relationship with the janitors.
Actually, I got an email after this column came out from a reader who was talking about a janitor. I think the janitor's name was Mr. Carl, and what a great citizen of the school he was. He would come to plays and sporting events, and he was a good person to have on site, not just because he was a good janitor, cleaned the school effectively, but because he participated in the school and knew the kids.
He was another supporting adult to have in the environment.
That is correct. So I think this was another instance where budget cutters prevailed and ended up promoting something that works against the best interest of everybody in the system.
Let's talk about the relative dispositions of the union locals. We've talked about Chicago unions who have gotten along particularly well with mayors. For example, for a long time, we've seen Teamsters and operating engineers who work for Streets and Sanitation and the Water Department and other departments in the city campaigning for the mayor and his approved aldermanic candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And last June, we talked about the Chicago Principals and Administrators Association, which you said was rather quiescent under former Mayor Richard M. Daley,
right,
though not so much these
yeah.
days. But with these janitors, how is it that two SEIU locals have different political agenda? Do SEIU locals tend to have more autonomy than those of other unions?
The politics of SEIU locals is probably more convoluted than the politics of the privatization efforts of Mayor Rahm. So each one of these locals is pretty much free to chart its own course. And for reasons I'll never know, because they won't talk to me, Local 73 has decided to sign on with Mayor Rahm. They haven't made a big deal about this, as I point out in the column. One of my favorite hobbies is to go up to Local 73 members that I happen. I just did this yesterday, as a matter of fact. Like, any crossing guard is generally a member of Local 73, and so I'll have a conversation while I'm waiting on my bike at a corner for the light to change, and I'll say something along the lines of, I'll ask them, are you in Local 73? And they'll say yes. And I say, do you know that your local gave $25,000 to Mayor Rahm? And invariably they'll say, no, they don't. And then they'll go on to say how much they can't stand the guy, and they're going to vote against him. One of my biggest complaints about the unions in Chicago, not particularly Local 73, but just in general, is that they tend to make these decisions that work against, I think, the long-term best interests of their members.
Sounds like American voters.
Yes. What's the matter with America? This is one of probably the most egregious case, because Mayor Rahm's privatization efforts have really hurt members of SEIU. Gosh, and well, not just SEIU, but I mean, we talked about the AFSCME water department workers. Remember them from a couple years ago?
And call center workers, they got privatized.
Privatized. Yeah, you and I were both at the same hearing where it was discussed. And there's been janitors at police departments and janitors at O'Hare, and now the janitors public schools. that lose their jobs through these various privatization schemes. I just can't understand what is to be gained for an SEIU local to support Mayor Emanuel. And effectively, there's no accountability for a mayor when he punishes public employees. So just from a sheer strategic point of view, I don't understand it. When I first wrote about this, I've called Local 73 for a comment, and their publicist told me that the appropriate person would be calling me back any day now, and that was, I don't know, a month ago. I'm still waiting for that phone call.
What does Local 1 say about it?
Well, they're not that reticent to talk to me either.
You mean eager?
Sorry, yes, all the marijuana I smoked.
It's the gummy bear.
Yeah, it's the gummy bear. They're not that eager to talk to me either. In this particular case, their publicist did not get back to me either, but I'm not that concerned about their position in this matter because they so far haven't donated money to Mayor Rahm's campaign. So their issue is that they had a very tough decision to make from their point of view. How much do they oppose these cuts? Because
Local 73 or Local 1?
I'm talking about Local 1. Now, follow me on this because this is really getting convoluted. But early on, Local 1 got into a very heated public battle with Mayor Emanuel over janitors fired at O'Hare. And Mayor Rahm prevailed in that fight, despite all the attention that Local 1 brought to it. And he ended up farming out a contract to a private company that was non-union and paid its workers less than the private company that had employed Local 1 janitors. I know that's tremendously confusing. So Local 1 then had to decide in this go-around how much to fight the mayor. And the mayor made it clear that he would continue to farm out the city business to a private company that employed Local 1 janitors. It'd just be fewer Local 1 janitors that would get employed. So they had to decide, well, is this worth fighting for? And they clearly made the decision that no, they would just quietly go along with it.
Because something's better than nothing.
Something's better than nothing. The janitors would still be union janitors, there just wouldn't be as many of them. And then what happened is that the principals stood up and started protesting, calling attention to the filthy conditions in the school because of the lousy work done by this private company. And that's when Local 1 felt compelled to say, oh, yeah, we're against this too. So that's probably another reason why they're reluctant to talk to me, because I'd be asking them about these things.
Let's dig a little deeper into privatization. The janitor story dovetails with an earlier article you wrote, which appeared in The Reader on September 18th, 2014, titled How to Win Rahm's Love If You're Running for Alderman. In that article, you wrote about the endorsement questionnaire sent by a political action committee called Chicago Forward to potential aldermanic candidates. In this article, you're saying that this questionnaire is essentially a crib sheet on Rahm Emanuel's political agenda for Chicago. One of the questions you identified that the questionnaire contains is, quote, do you support expanding high-quality school choices for families that include neighborhood, charter, international baccalaureate, STEM, which is science, technology, what's the E stand for? Engineering?
I have no idea.
Let's call it engineering. Science, technology, engineering, math.
I was about to say idiocy, but
that would be STEM. Yeah. STEM, magnet, and selective enrollment schools. So do you support expanding all those? The key point for you here is that the mayor favors expansion of charter schools, which I think you'll agree is, among other things, a form of privatization.
Yes, absolutely. That's
and
what it's all about.
If we go and take a look at the website of Chicago Forward, the PAC, it says this about its platform, quote, controlling spending, using new technologies and initiatives to improve efficiencies, and reducing the size of city government have helped move the city's financial position in the right direction. Emphasis mine. City government shouldn't be forced to choose between protecting critical investments in neighborhoods and families and making itself more efficient, accountable, and smaller.
Yeah.
So this administration seems to be focused on shifting public services to private contractors.
That's correct.
Let's engage in some hyperbolic speculation here. If he had complete freedom, what city jobs or services do you think Mayor Emanuel would not hand over to contractors?
Wow, great question.
Like, how far would it go?
Well, I don't believe he would privatize the police department.
It wouldn't be RoboCop.
I don't believe he'll go there. In general, he looks to pick on the weak. He's a bully, so he looks for the weakest opponents. The police department, first of all, they're all armed. So I think, you know, he might be a little hesitant on that front.
They surround him, too.
Yeah. So I don't think he would pick on the police department. I don't believe he'd pick on the fire department.
They have axes.
Those are two predominantly male.
Now they have access to Grind.
Yeah, no access to Grind. That's such a bad joke. So let's see, who else would he leave? Okay, he would definitely, oh, he is going after the teachers. That's what charter schools is all about, privatizing. The janitors, he's picked on them. Sort of obscure city employees like water call workers. I guess the police and fire would be the only ones that I would say would be absolutely exempt from this privatization. It's a great question. I'd have to think that one out. I actually might write a column about that. Thank you for giving me the idea.
Just give credit.
Yes, just give credit to Mr. Remember I gave you credit a week ago with the joke. You came up.
I just can't get enough.
It was a good joke. I can't remember the joke, but it was a good joke.
It's out there.
No, you were saying I said he was inching toward the left, Mayor Rahm, and you said it was more like a basketball player. He fakes left and goes right, which is a very funny line on many levels. At the moment, as I sit here, I can only think of two that would be exempt, police and fire.
So everybody else, watch out.
Watch out. Yes, indeed.
We'll leave it there. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, did you know you can get automatic downloads of all of Inside Chicago Government's audio reporting? Here's how. On your web, go to chigov.com. Look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.